Good morning. It's Sunday, November 20th.
And Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting, our service today, that your truths would come forth, and that we would have a heart to receive those, ears to receive those by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I do have a testimony of a prayer request that my wife put in for my physical condition and on the prayer chain. I started having a belly ache about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and my digestive system works just fine. That hasn't been really one of my problems. But it hurt. Ooh, it hurt. And I don't know if I need to be too graphic about things, but it didn't seem to be the contents of the abdomen, if you follow what I'm saying. It was, you know, sometimes they telescope, you know, one, you know, or there's a twist in the colon or the small intestine or whatever, you know, and it felt like something along those lines. It didn't feel like,
normal discomfort.
Right. It was, it was a different kind of deal. And I prayed. I just prayed. Lord, why is this continuing? It just stayed with me. You know, they talk about pain. You know, they want to know what the level of pain is between number 1 to 9. This was 8 or 9, 1 to 10, you know. This is 8 or 9. And just, you know, hour after hour of 8 or 9. But I continued to pray, and I guess you folks did too, you know. And I gave my digestive system to God. I just gave it to Him. God, it is yours. You know. Sit on it. We'll do whatever. Have your Holy Spirit just reside there, you know, whatever. And nothing was happening, and oh my. And then at about 3 a.m., pain lifted. Just gone. Mm. It's all gone. I've been thinking, here I am in Florida. This is going to call for some medical attention, you know, and my health insurance, the hospitals down there, they got more important things to do with a man with a bellyache, you know. And I just didn't know what in the world was gonna happen here. But boy, that thing just broke. And I realized,
thank you, Jesus.
You know, it's His schedule, it's not ours.
Amen.
It's His schedule. And if He wants to have me in a high level of pain, 8 or 9, wherever it is, for 12 hours, I can do that. I can do that. That's all right, God. Go ahead and get my attention that way. You know, it was, I don't know if I want to say part two of the same lesson, but all I know is that God is good, but He does it on His schedule, not mine. Mm-hmm. But He is, He's so good. Just so good. Just so good.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Papa wanted me to share another testimony we thought we shared it, but it happened last Sunday night. But back in October, the 14th. Remember Rusty?
Mm.
So Rusty posted on Facebook, my mom something something. I never read the post. Pablo responded, "We'll be praying." Then Rusty private messaged Pablo and said, "Hey, Pablo, my mom's going to die. Will you do the funeral?" Well, Pablo hadn't even started, you know, preaching. I mean, you know, that was the thought of it. But Pablo was like, okay. But I'd kind of like to meet her first. You know, we had never met her. And Pablo knew Rusty's dad and stuff. So then Saturday, Rusty said, yeah. I think at that point they were going to give her like a week to live. And so that Sunday, you guys prayed with us. We were going to go pray with her at the hospital. Okay, so Sunday the 16th or whatever, we went up and prayed with her. Valerie, she just little breasts, just kind of, she's full of cancer in different places. 6 months ago, they did tests, and they told her you better keep an eye on it. She didn't. Until it got desperate where that Thursday, Friday, she went to the hospital and they said, oh, you have stage 4, whatever. So she couldn't breathe good. So we were praying with her and she's like, well, they tell me I have about 4.5 months. But Rusty said she's forgetful. So in her mind, she had 4.5 months. And Bob and I were looking at each other like, Rusty's already planning the funeral. And so you guys discussed the funeral and the $25 and whatever. So then we prayed with her, but while we were praying with her, I sat on the side and Pablo sat on the other side, and then he said, what would you like from the Lord, and you know, whatever. She said, I just want my family to be fine when I leave. She's only 66, leaving her grandchildren. So we just prayed that, and then all of a sudden, Pablo, the Spirit of the Lord came over him, and he just started to sob, and he said, the Lord is with you. The Lord's going to grant you what you know, whatever. And then I said, have you ever given your heart to the Lord? So I led her through. I'm not into the sinner's prayer because I don't want them to get my salvation. You know, I mean, but I just said, this is what you would pray. And so she did. At that point, she would have said anything to her after to repeat. And she was weak and very short of breath and kind of sleepy. And so she said, they're putting me on hospice because they can't do anything more for me here, she says, and it's too late for treatment. I said, oh, okay. I said, but that's what man says, Valerie. That's what man says. So we prayed. I mean, we were in there for a while. And then we left and thank you, thank you, thank you. So then Pablo texted Rusty and said, we were there. She looked good. And he said, thank you for your prayers. That was Sunday. So then Monday went by. Tuesday went by. Nothing. Well, then Corky connected with Rusty that Wednesday, and Rusty said he was on his way from his work to the hospital. I think the family was gathering. They didn't think she was going to live throughout the day, so he was going to quick drop the $25 off to us to get to Corky, because Corky was in Wausau, and he would do that. So Corky knew that Rusty was going to stop at our house. We were out walking. We saw a car coming go. And Rusty was going to come bring the $25 so that we could do the funeral. And then I would tell Pablo, well, you're going to preach this Friday, and so hopefully they don't want a funeral on Friday. So it was just a thing. And then nothing. We've been busy, and I said, she must have passed. And they just held the funeral somewhere else, and it's not our business, and nothing. But last Sunday night, I've been asked Pablo a few times, message Rusty. So last Sunday night, he messaged Rusty and said, Rusty, how's your mom? He said, she's doing okay. They took her off hospice care. She's at the Dove Mill behind Pizza Ranch. That's what we know. So at the moment, it's now been a month. So I just, and we've been praying for everything. We have a huge prayer list going up. People are like, will you pray for us? So every morning I pray when I'm up by myself, and then at night we pray together. And I don't know, but she's still here, so that gives God the opportunity to still do. Now, living forever shouldn't be our prayer, obviously. Mm-hmm. But God is keeping her here, and the family is at peace right now. So praise God.
The power of prayer took her from hospice to death.
Yes.
And everybody in the world goes, oh, wait, that doesn't happen.
It's not like getting taken off of oxygen or a medication. When you're put on hospice, the medical world knows they don't just put everybody a hospice, like you get hospice and you get hospice. I mean, it's
that's when man gives up.
Yeah.
And says, this is beyond us.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of a lot of times we have to get to that same place and say, Lord, you have to do this because this is beyond what I can walk around and fight.
Right. You know? That's like Tara's testimony is the same, you know, I mean, the pain, you know, I mean, they were planning on her dying and now she's behind Pizza Ranch. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So it is God's timing.
Yeah.
It is. It's all God's timing.
Another praise report is my Chuck's son, Michael. Chuck has Michael and Brooke. Brooke can't have children. And Michael is 30s. And he's married. And it turned out Michael wasn't the best at being able to make children, I guess, after many extensive tests. And so they've done the thing and had her, you know, get pregnant. Through the paid a lot of money. Nothing would take. And so several months ago, Michael called and asked me, he says, I don't want really anybody else to know, only my parents and her parents know that we've spent all this money trying to have babies. And he said, so pray for us because it's just not working. And I said, okay. So then he called me a few times last week and I didn't get to it, but then he called me this week to let me know that she's 3 months pregnant.
Uh-huh.
They hadn't announced, but they were finding out yesterday. They did blood tests, and then they were having a big boy or girl reveal party yesterday. So he wanted to FaceTime my dad. So he was. They did all. He says they went in and took baby blood to check. He said for any disabilities. Michael was very worried because it's such, you know, whatever. So they checked it, and he says it's a normal baby, Auntie Katie. It's a normal baby. And so she's 3 months pregnant, but she's at risk just because.
Right.
So he was going to call my dad yesterday to tell him and to let him know the gender. They must have got busy. So then they posted on Facebook today, so they're having a boy.
So Grandpa Chuck.
So this will be
Grandpa.
It will be Grandpa Chuck.
Uh-huh.
And Brooke won't have any. So it will be, Chuck will be. And then he said, and please tell Grandpa that we just, because of the money we've spent on that, we just haven't traveled back there. But he said, when the baby's born, he says, I want the three of us to come back right away. He said, so tell Grandpa to look forward to that. So I told my dad, you have to stay alive at least 10 months. whatever, he's feeling old and whatever. He said, we're not revealing it to the rest of the family, even that we're pregnant. And until Saturday, but I'm calling you, he says, because I called you and Auntie Shelley, and I knew you guys were praying.
So he wanted that.
Praise God. Something that's been in my heart for the last 3 days or so. It's about the weird way how God operates is so beyond and past. How we could even consider asking, you know, God does things that we don't even know, we don't comprehend or understand. I am going to put a scripture next to it. So they asked Jesus about paying taxes, and Jesus says, "Yeah, we pay taxes. Go and cast a hook. And you're going to catch a fish. And the fish is going to have money in it. And it's going to be just right for taxes." Now, see, this scripture is 2 verses long. But you got to grab the scripture and just let it eat it. You know why you need to eat the Word of God? Eat and let it digest and let that scripture do its work. If you think about it, you have to think about it. Like, first of all, how big of a school of fish is there that he's fishing in? Is it 1,000 fish? 10,000? Maybe just one. I don't know. So there goes Peter and whoever's fishing. And he catches the one fish that had the money. Or maybe all the fish had money. I don't know. But let's say he catches the one fish with the money. And
the fact that the fish is alive, still with money in its throat or belly or whatever. And he catches it, and then it's kind of money for the. So, anyways, see, we think, oh, well, Lord, well, let's whatever, let's do it this way, and blah, blah, blah. But God, he will go so far beyond past. You know, how often do people go fishing for money? Hey, go get the fish so you can pay taxes. I mean, I would have been a horrible disciple or horrible. I think about this all the time. I am so glad I was not alive 2,000 years ago. I would have crucified Jesus. I would have been the first one in line. I would have nailed him to the cross. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I get it. Because I have the luxury of being able to take this word and let the word of God do this work in my understanding. Otherwise, honest to God, I would have crucified Jesus. I would have not believed nothing he said. I would have made fun of him. You know what I mean? So, people, the whole man, if I would have been born in the days of Jesus, or you don't want to be born in the days of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says to Thomas, I think it is, he says, you know what? He says, blessed are you because you saw me and you believed. But blessed are you because you don't see and believe. And I, you know what? Oh, I am so blessed. I'm not alive. I wasn't alive 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You know. Anyways.
That was one very strange way of raising tax money, though.
Yeah.
Ooh, was that strange.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, there's easier ways. You are absolutely right. God can be so odd.
Yes.
Odd. And all we must accept that, though.
I don't think it was odd. Well, I'm only saying that because what's the one thing they did? They fished.
Well, I guess
that was the easiest way. Hey, go do something you normally do and you're good at it. And then you'll have enough money for taxes.
I would suggest look along the side of the road. Someone might have dropped one. And
sure, right.
But there it is. Okay, good. Yeah, that must be the Lord.
It just occurred to me while we're talking about that setting of scripture. If Jesus could tell someone to go, throw your line here, hook a fish has money in it, how easy is it to figure out what you two need to do to meet your needs?
Go fishing.
No, I mean, the odds of, like I said, what's the chances of finding the fish with the coin in it? Apparently, if God's involved, it's pretty easy.
Right.
You know, so if God's involved,
exactly.
What it just will happen because God's involved. We've kind of been touching on, and I think it's worth just digging on it a little harder. There are many, many, many stories in the Bible where God uses a person to do something, a prophet or whatever, and you go, well, he didn't need to do that. He didn't need anybody. So why was he doing it this way? Because it was better to see someone they could talk to versus a voice from above. You know, I'm kind of saying that if I heard a voice from above, you'd have more of my attention than if I just heard it from Fred. You know, I see Fred every day. Voices from above, not so much. So it's interesting that he chose to do that. Because he certainly doesn't need to do that. That's the way he's choosing to go about it. So one other thing, Pablo, your candor about it. I probably wouldn't have been able to see who Jesus really was if I'd been there. You know, I pray, and I think in the eldership we've talked an awful lot about asking for God's discernment so that when it's the Antichrist, we know it's the Antichrist, and we're not deceived, and when it is the second coming, we know that it's the second coming. Now, there's trumpets and things, so you wonder about that, but to your point, you know, I ask and pray often Lord, don't let me miss. Don't let me miss this. Make sure that I have an ear to hear and I'm paying attention, because that is the thing. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in all this other stuff around us and go, if that's deception and that's the angel of light, I want to know that. And if that's Jesus coming again, I want to know that, so that we know where we should be listening and where we should have our heart.
I think the risk is we can miss it. But, what we don't want to do is think we found him when we didn't. Mm-hmm. False prophets. The Antichrist. Buying the Antichrist story. We don't want to do that.
It talks in the Bible about how we say there's going to be an Antichrist. There's many Antichrists that have already been out. The spirit of Antichrist is anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So is that not most churches?
Oh.
The spirit of Antichrist is alive and raging. That is most churches. That anything that is above what is true, or telling you I can explain to you what is true, that is Antichrist. That is the spirit of Antichrist here in the world, and there are so many people who are on the Antichrist train.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. And it follows the narrative, and they don't recognize that they are.
Right. Well, it does mean all those things in my name.
Yeah.
I don't know you, but that's because you're a fangirl instead of the relationship, and that's completely different. Being a fan of something, you think that you're
going to say fangirl. I don't recall saying that.
No, but like if I want to know about Justin Bieber, if I join that club, that's what most churches are. It's just a club, and they don't know anything actually about him. You know, it's very different. If I want to know about Susan, I'm not going to go talk to you as much as you probably could tell me all of your versions of Susan, and we could all hang out with you. But if I never go to Susan, I don't know Susan. I only know your Susan.
Well, that's probably a bad example. Okay. But you're right, and I do think, you know, most churches just all make it all sugar and syrupy, and life is good, wonderfulness, and don't talk about the requirements, and meditate on His Word day and night. You know, it's just, there's a lot of lifting involved here. The path is narrow, the way is straight, and no. You go most places, and it's a slam dunk. You kind of thought about it once you're in, you know, and it's.
You are not being equipped to recognize and reject the Antichrist.
Amen.
You are not being equipped for that. And we need to be equipped to do that. That's what we need.
Well, a lot of churches, I mean, growing up, I was Presbyterian, and one of the biggest things they talked a lot about was make sure you give 10%. And my mom was raising a raft of kids on a reception. She was working at a switchboard, you know. I mean, she wasn't making any money. And they would post how much money she should be giving. And, she got mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she's like, you know, we were barely making ends meet. But the church really emphasized that if you didn't give 10%, you know, life wasn't going to be really the greatest. And I'm going, if we did give 10%, life was going to be worse than it was. But, I mean, I didn't know that as a kid, but that was one of the biggest things that so many churches talk about. And I never felt that from here, not that you guys didn't talk about we need to tithe and give unto the Lord and blah, 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 but it was like give unto the Lord from your heart, not give unto the Lord from what you know, this is the amount that everybody should be meeting that amount, or don't really expect anything wonderful to happen. And I'm like, I didn't know God worked that way.
In the Bible everywhere how important money is and physical things like that. The most important focus on riches. in the flesh.
Are we going to start fishing?
All I know is that, you know, when there was some kind of financial pinch here in church, and say something to Keith about it, maybe we better say something from the pulpit. What Keith ended up saying was, you really don't have to give him. He gave just the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we got through. Hey, we're here.
Yeah. But that's what I was saying. I don't think, I don't know. Actually, I don't think. There hasn't been one sermon out of my dad's mouth that talks about that.
No, the only
and
one is
it's all right.
Don't worry about it. That wasn't quite the message I was asking him to be giving.
Yeah. I have to leave because I got dragged with me to her friend's house in a little while at noon. A few hours away, so pray for my safety. But I probably wanted me to share, and I forgot that... talking about an odd God, you know, the strangest, one of my top strangest things happened to us this week. So Pablo, as everybody knows, gets this level 10 face paint. It's called suicide paint, and it will shoot on. Now, many people that have it, they know things trigger it, brushing their teeth, when there hasn't been a trigger, we don't know. He's good, and then all of a sudden... you know, and he can barely talk. So the other night, and just, it used to happen all the time, blah, blah, blah. Now it happens randomly, we don't know when, once or twice a week. But there seems to be like a 30 minute to an hour in thing when it comes on, and I get right down on my knees, and I will pray in tongues. And then all of a sudden, it lifted. And I rebuke spirits. So... a couple of the last times were when you guys came over and prayed deliverance, Susan prayed deliverance, or whatever. So now there's another time that I prayed for him. And all of a sudden, then it lifts. It's still there, but it's bearable. But so a few nights ago, he had it. We sent out the prayer chain. He was fine, and all of a sudden, he's like, and I said, okay. And he puts his head back, and his eyes just get kind of glary, and he doesn't want to move his face. Eli told me that if he would have been home alone, then he would have taken him to the ER, because he's cognitive, but the pain is so bad, he just knows he's going to glorify God through it or whatever. And each time lately, the so many times, because it doesn't happen every day, the Lord has always had these really cool, like, he's got to lay down for a few hours, so we're going to go do chores or errands, but not. And then all of a sudden, we get to the store, and we run into somebody that we end up praying with. And I told him, if you wouldn't have had to pay his pain at 2 o'clock, we wouldn't have gone to the store at 3:30. And so God has set up these things. It is not enjoyable. Let me tell you, mm-hmm. As his wife, it's not enjoyable.
Let me interrupt you for a second. So, I mean, this is in the middle of the pain, okay? And it hurts. But in the middle of the pain, I told Kenny, baby, I said, I would still not go back to before my stroke with no pain on my regular, well, how my life was. I would still not go back. I would pay this pain because with my heart, I have a different heart. You guys have known me forever, I'm basically the same. When you talk to me, you look at me, I'm like, whatever. But I am a completely different person. And what's interesting to me, because it's not in the Bible, I didn't pray to be like this. I didn't know I needed this. Nothing. God just did it. And anyways, I just want to share that in the middle, even in the worst pain, baby, I would not trade my life to my before stroke with no pain, income, and whatever. So
anyway, God has, I told him, I said, you're going through this because God's not done with the work, but there's things to be done for other people. We want to be servants. So if you can go through this pain, but it makes your mom pray, then we're going to do this, right? And then we pray for other people through this thing, too. What?
pray for one another that you may be healed. So I'll be praying for you, but I'm really praying for Charlotte. You know what I mean? And whatever. So anyway, it was bad the other night. It was bad. I sent out the prayer chain. Super, one of the worst times, okay? And he cannot speak at all at that time, whatever. And of course, I get anxiety because I, whatever. But then, I know I'm going to pray. Okay, so we're praying, praying in tongues. Eli's praying, whatever. And then all of a sudden, he says, it lifted. It lifted. And I said, okay. And when it happens, I know now when I pray, I'm like, something good's going to happen. So it's just exciting. I don't know in what direction or something's going to happen. So it was, and then Felicity needed to be picked up from the YMCA. So we, all of a sudden it lifted and it was 6:30 or whatever. So he said, I'm going to come with you. I'm like, okay. I mean, literally, you guys, 45 minutes before that, Eli was thinking we better go to the hospital. So he said, I'm going to ride with you. So I took him, we went, we got Felicity. Well, Felicity says, I need some frozen strawberries, whatever. And I said, not right now. I got to get Dad back home. He says, we can go to Aldi. So we went into Aldi. He carried cases of water. So I'm chuckling. We get home, and we're sitting there, and he's still not comfortable and whatever. 9:30, my phone rings. It's a spam call from Arizona. I said, what the heck? I'll answer. Hello? And I hear this, maybe drunk man, maybe someone having a heart attack. Yeah, well, they're not going to pick us up because I'm in the hospital, and they don't know, and my heart, and I can barely breathe, and I guess my heart's failing. And so I turned on speakerphone so public could hear this, you know. So he's like, so I was saying, oh, I got to stay here, my heart, and then I guess I, and I thought, well, whoever this is, maybe I'll just pray with him. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I told Paul, I said, this is Gary Vincy. And so I said, Gary? Is this Gary Vincy? He says, well, yeah. I said, this is Candy Gunn. Well, how do you get me? I'm like, you called me. He goes, no, I didn't. I called our friend Juanita. I have not seen the Vincys in 30 years. Joan called my dad, after my mom died, at my dad's house to say she was sorry. My sister Terry was there. I haven't spoken to any of them. I've had my cell phone since 2002. They do not have my telephone number. And I said, so Joan was sitting in the room with Gary, and he says, well, I'll tell you what's going on. He says, I had a pacemaker 10 years ago. Anyways, he was flabbergasted. He goes, how did I reach you? And he said, what's your number? I said, 715. He goes, no, I punched Juanita's 928-470-9. He says, I punched Juanita's number. And I said, no, Gary, you. And I said, do you have my number? He said, no. And I'm like, what? So he was at the hospital. He went in the morning to their little foothill hospital. His heart was bad. He could only take 6 breaths without going funny. So they took him by ambulance to the great big Yuma hospital for the whole day. And he thought he was going to go home, so their friend Juanita was going to go pick him and Joan up. And he said, I was just calling to let her know that they're going to keep me overnight. I can't go. I'm having trouble breathing. So when he called, he didn't say, hi, this is Gary. He immediately went into all of his problems. You know what I mean? And so I, Gary, and he says, well, this is strange. So then he's telling Joan, he says, I'm talking to Candy Gunn. And she's like, how did you find her? He says, I don't know. He said, Candy, Juanita's number is 928. He's said it 3 or 4 times. And he says, what is your number? So then him and Joan, to keep in contact with me, Joan was sitting with a paper on speakerphone, taking down my telephone number. And then we repeated it 3 different times to make sure. So we proceeded to talk to him. So it was so weird. I was sitting there like, what just happened? So through that, I was able to say Pablo has this thing, and then, you know, he has a stroke, he has his pain, and we want to pray for you. So I said, I'm going to let Pablo pray for you. So I gave Pablo the phone, and he says, Gary, I could just pray random for your healing, but I'm going to ask you this. Gary, what do you want from the Lord right now? What do you want from the Lord? Instead of just pray for his healing. Well, what would you ask? To be able to breathe better. He's 88. To breathe better. If I pass peacefully, let me be able to breathe. He's in the hospital. He says, well, they say every 6 or 8 minutes my heart does this thing, and so maybe my pacemaker is something. He goes, but I just want to go home. He was in good spirits. but he couldn't breathe good. If I was in that position, I would be like, well, I need the Lord to give me some air. Mm-hmm. Pablo says, what would you have the Lord do, Gary? He said, you know, I wanted to be in the will of God. Mm-hmm. And Pablo said, anything else? And he says, well, I'd like prayer for God's guidance. That was his two prayers, not heal me, stop my suffering, stop, give me breath. So Pablo prayed and he says, Gary, that's what the Lord's going to do for you then. That, you know, and that was the prayer. And then we just were like, nobody wanted to hang out. And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. And it was now 10 o'clock. And I said, I want to call my dad, but he won't be able to sleep all night long now. But.
I got to say.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to say, in the business, they call this burying the lead. This is what we should have heard about first.
That
is a miracle. How did Gary dial the wrong number, trying to dial this number, to get to sit, talk to Pablo?
And I said, Gary, look at your phone. You dialed 7-5. He goes, no, Candy. He said, I punched in 9-2-8-5. And he
put the switchboard.
I mean, they're not even near each other.
No. And he said, what did your number start with? I said, 7-5. He goes, nope, I dialed 9-2-8. And I said, but I've had my cell phone since 2002 or whatever. But I haven't seen them since my girls were, you know, 1, 2, 3. And I've never talked to them on the telephone, ever. Except that my dad tells right after my mom died. So, and Joan, it was Joan's phone he was at. And he says, no, Joan doesn't have your number, because she was writing it on paper. But he said, I know a lot of weird, odd things. He said, this is going to be one of the top ones. I said, yeah, for me too.
You know what?
But if Pablo wouldn't have had the face paint at that time, and we wouldn't have gone to the store, and then we would, all of it was set up, and I told him, that's why you had the pain at that time. And I'm sorry. It's not fun. It's not fun. To watch him suffer, and I can't solve the problem at the time. All I can do is pray.
These are such miracles. You should be writing them down and sending them into guideposts so people can read them.
That's why I told Pablo, there's just all these little things. It's just building, and we're nothing. We're humble.
I mean, that truly makes
broken, humble, and happy in front of the Lord. But the Lord has answered. All of these things.
I thought he was dead anyway.
It would have made more sense if it was a random drunk person from the hospital who died of the wrong number.
I know.
Not somebody who knew you.
I thought the person, because he was like, and my heart is giving on. And I thought, oh, whoever this is, you know. And then I said, what? And he was lying in the hospital. And I'm like, oh my God. Well, God, you know. So the other thing is, through Pablo's pain and whatever, I told him over the last year, or several years, you know, he's like, well, I want to minister to people. I said, well, you have to get out and you have to make your, God isn't just going to send people to your door. However,
but he's going to send them to your phone.
However, there have been a couple of incidences. My girlfriend showed up in our driveway and Pablo sat in his chair and ministered to her through the window. Rosemary and Clayton showed up 2 weeks ago. We prayed for her on a Sunday or a Saturday at my dad's house. And 2 days later, for the first time in 6 months, Clayton got her out of the house to come bring us tomatoes, and we didn't even, they showed up 5 minutes after we got home from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And you were discomforted earlier in the day, so we went to the grocery store later, it's like I'm watching my mom, all the funny things my mom used to, you know.
Yeah.
So I can't, the other night when we were praying, it was right after the Gary thing, I was just looking up and I was giggling in my spirit as Pussy was praying with Pablo good night, and I was giggling, and it was like very loud. The Lord was like, you wonder where I am? I'm right there.
Yes, amen.
So, and I just want to continue that because it's really the only thing that keeps us going.
Well, when Pablo has these pains, let us know. Because then we'll all get excited because God's about to do something and we'll all be part of it. So we'll pray for Pablo so the pain will lift and so then God can use it. And it's kind of exciting to see how God is doing just that. Because mm-hmm. we know it's his heart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, God doesn't waste good.
And humble before the Lord. In just
God doesn't waste good.
I only want to stay alive on this earth so that I can, that God can use me for whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, I'm going to be gone this afternoon, it looks like, now for a few hours, so pray that he...
I'll go with you. I'll go with you.
Hey, I was going to say...
That's 3 hours, right?
Whatever. I wanted to go on the treadmill for a little bit, but no. Is it going to come with me to put the treadmill in touch?
You're going to be back by 6?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's an hour
before
and a half.
Yeah.
He's asking if we can put the treadmill in the trunk.
Oh! The trunk.
Yeah, because we can go
in
the
put it in the back of Eli.
You
can put a little pressure. I tell you, it's cold. 60 miles an hour on a treadmill. That'd be tough work.
Well, if they cut the bottom of the car, then they have the Flintstone.
That's true.
It'd be a little bit longer than 3 hours.
Anyway, so God is good. So,
God is
if
good.
You have need of anything, have Pablo pray. Make him pray. Because, well, he prays for you. You'll be healed, but then he can be healed. Mm-hmm. You know? Because we have the time.
Anything else? Because I know I want to pray for Barb. Because I want Barb to get better. Because selfishly, I want to have Barb join us at church. So.
I'd like to pray for Lindsay.
Okay.
She had, she had some surgery on her bladder, some kind of lesions or something. And she's been fighting with these pains and. Ever since she was a kid, she had some surgery done on her bladder or kidneys. And anyway, it comes and goes and comes and goes and comes and goes. And it puts her at a, like, when she's going to school now, she has to go to the bathroom. And she's in class, and she, and pressure is, great. Anyway, we're hoping this cures the problem with her. That looked like there was a cyst on her bladder.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out they thought it was endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have been something left over from that one, I don't know, 8 years ago. But it's been a bad. And she's off and on every time she has a period and every time she has a walk.
Yeah.
So she's going through a lot of pain. She'll ask you about why. They should be able to solve this problem.
Right.
Why?
Oh, Lord, by your
spirit. Have to suffer.
Yes.
Every single.
Wrap this thing up for Lindsay. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. There's no reason when she's in her mid-30s or whatever. I remember she did as a little girl. She was having problems with her bladder. So, Lord, we ask that this thing would be just taken care of and that it just would not be a problem after this. No more problem. No more problem. Give wisdom to the medical people or whatever. You combine with them, whatever, by whatever, far be it from us to decide how you should be fixing things, especially when you stick coins in fish's mouths to take care of problems. So, Lord, we ask for your healing and your resolution of this thing by your Spirit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, we ask, oh, Jesus, we speak to your strength. You speak your strength upon Barb now, that she would just be able to cast off the residuals of whatever kind of infection that she's been having, that she would, that her whole body would be filled with energy, that she would just be able to handle whatever gets thrown at her physically. Your healing. Your healing upon Barb now.
Your healing. Lord.
Your healing. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. I noticed that when Charlotte was coming in here, heading over to her desk, there was a kind of a livelier step to her than what I'm used to. You know, often it's kind of a hobble. She was kind of clipping right along here. Things, I don't know, things better for you?
I think there's something going on. I had two better days where I didn't have more of a dizziness and a sick feeling. So
okay.
2 days in a row is really a great thing.
Thank you.
I had pains like this morning. I had sharp pains in my foot and in my arm. And I prayed, and the Lord took it.
Paul, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Charlotte, do you pray in tongues?
Yes, pray in tongues.
I'm not kidding, pray in tongues. I could give a whole message about that. Pray in tongues. I didn't mean to cut you off, but pray in tongues. Every single time. And say the name Jesus, because the devil can't. You know what I was telling Papa the other day? When you speak, you know, people can hear you. When you pray in tongues, they don't know what you're saying. When you speak, the devil, I don't know if he's... When you're praying, I don't know what he hears, but I know when you pray in tongues, the devil doesn't know what you're saying. But your spirit, it knows.
I'm speaking, but... we'd like to... Brittany and I were talking about... We haven't done communion in a long time, so we'd like to have communion next Sunday. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Could you hold on for another week so that we could open it?
Oh, sure.
Just a thought. You know, I don't know if it should be in a week, but... Well, yes. Well, we can... Yeah, we'll pay attention to that. Thanks, Brittany.
See you guys.
Yep.
Well, Pablo's going to go with me, so we pray because he doesn't like car rides.
Be safe.
Okay.
We love you all.